Aren't they wonderful? They are. Please be seated. That Anne read for us. I always say that, but once I get going, I very rarely refer to the text. But if you're following me, you will see where I am in the text. So keep it open, please. It is said, I can't remember now where I read or heard this story, that a young girl was asked what she would like to be when she grew up. She thought for a while and answered that she did not want to be a doctor like her mother, a craftsman like her brother, a teacher like her sister. What she really wanted to be was to have God's job. But, she added with a sigh, I guess that job is already taken. The wisdom of that child all too often eludes the majority of us human beings. Most of us try and live our lives without taking God and His authority into our reckoning. But the truth is, in this universe, there is only room for one God. That's neither you, it's not me. It is the Lord, our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only room for one God. So the challenge is, if He is the only God, and there are no rivals, and if He created us, we were singing earlier and we read from Scripture, and if He is the sovereign ruler of the whole universe, although so often we don't see that, if that is true, then it is important that we, each one of us, submit to His ruling. The children of Israel, led by Moses from Egypt to the Promised Land, learned this lesson the hard way. This is a very sad passage that Anne read to us, because it was teaching the children of Israel, or rather, Moses is looking back to Numbers 13 and 14, and what happened there, he is reflecting very sadly how the children of Israel learned the lesson that God is in charge, not us human beings. So what happened in Numbers 13 and 14? After 2 years of wandering from Egypt towards the Promised Land, they got to the southern part of what was to be their home. And Moses, in the desert of Paran, he decided to send 12 spies to look at the land, this land that God was giving to them. And off they went. They looked at the land and they brought back a report, a glowing report about the land and its fruitfulness and its suitability. But the only problem, they said, was that there are people who live in this land. And as we walked among them, we looked even to ourselves as if we were simply grasshoppers. They are giants. It is impossible for us to overcome them. And that report, the interpretation of what they had experienced, that report discouraged the whole nation. So much so that the nation, the people, decided that they would stone, execute Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, and then they would choose new leaders, leaders who would take them back to Egypt. Because God had led them to this point under false premises, promising them land to live in where they could live in peace, and yet it was beginning to look as if God had deceived them, brought them to be slaughtered by the Canaanites. And they were so convinced about this, that however much Moses pleaded with them, Joshua tried to persuade them, Caleb joined in, the people would not, the whole nation, they wept, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And perhaps just to say a point here about your influence. All of us are influencers in some capacity or rather. We may not be the Kardashian-Jenner family with their 1.2 billion followers on social media, but we have influence. It may be here in this church. It's not just the leaders in this church who have influence. Every one of us has influence on how people perceive what goes on in this church. It might be at work, at your workplace, on social media, if you have a following there, in the playground at school, or in the classroom, in our neighborhoods, in our community. It's therefore important that we use our words wisely. What intrigues me about this episode is that they brought back a brilliant report about the fruitfulness of the land. There's no question about that. But the interpretation they put on those facts created a situation in which they influenced the whole nation to fall into unbelief and rebellion against the Lord. It is God who had said, I have this land, I'm going to give you. These 10 men said he lied. Our God lied. He can't do this. Where do you have influence? And what do the people you influence do as a result of your influence? I think each one of us needs to ponder on those thoughts and ensure, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that what we say should be for the benefit of those who hear and for building them up. It doesn't matter whether it's a child we are talking to or a friend. And especially when we are agitated, we should always bear in mind the things that are going to proceed from my mouth. Are they in the best interests of the person I am talking to? And are they going to be encouraged and built up as a result of what I say? The result of what those 10 men said was that Moses spent the last 38 years of his life burying hundreds of thousands of people who died because they disbelieved God. Only Caleb and Joshua survived, those who were 20 years and over at the time of the Exodus from Egypt. Some of the reality of that experience, that tragic period, is captured in what was read in verses 7 to 12. We are consumed by your anger, terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. What a sad episode. All because 10 people chose not to believe God and to influence the nation of Israel in the wrong way. I suppose Moses here is reflecting upon the deaths that occurred during that period. I'm thinking that actually death is a way that God removes sin. And he will be talking, as we will see in a minute, that our years on earth are limited. And that in itself is a mercy of God because of sin. If we lived in sin for eternity, that would be misery indeed. And so Moses is thinking about all that happened because of human sinfulness. Death is an agent of God's wrath because of sin, and he will. I like, there's a hymn we often sing written by Isaac Watts, I think. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sands away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. That's his reflection on this particular psalm. I don't know what you've been watching this summer, but there have been an awful lot of sports on the television. Tennis at Wimbledon, the Women's Football World Cup in Australia and New Zealand, and we congratulate the Lionesses in getting, for the first time, to the finals of the World Cup. There's still a little hindrance on the way. They have to face Australia. So I don't know whether we should pray for them that they win, or we should pray that the best team wins. We've had the Ashes tests just here next door, and we've had the Netball World Championships in Cape Town. Now, each of these sports has a governing body that regulates the games. Performance-enhancing drugs are considered dangerous to the games, and any sportsman or woman caught using these drugs, they face severe sanctions and sometimes lifetime bans. But there are many amongst our sportsmen and women who think, maybe, just maybe I'll get away with it. And so they do. They try, and we've seen the results. In a sense, we could say the wrath of International Olympic Committee is a terrible cloud to live under if you cheat. So too is the wrath of God. And Moses viewed the deaths of all those thousands of Israelites in the desert with great sadness. As we've read, all our days pass away under your wrath. So full of promise, yet they had been overtaken by a death sentence. They wandered aimlessly through the desert until every last one of them passed away, and their lives proved to be futile. Moses states that life expectancy is between 70 and 80 years. I was looking this up on Google and found that as at 2020, life expectancy for men in the UK is 79 years, and for women, 83.4. So my brothers, we will be outlived by our wives, even if they are not younger than us. Greater Glasgow and the Clyde local authority's life expectancy, which is the lowest in the country, is 76 for men and 77 for women. Kensington and Chelsea has the highest rates, and it's 86 for men and 89 for women. For those of us who live in Leeds, women is 82 and men 78. And there are many other countries whose life expectancies go up and down. The lowest I understand is Lesotho in Southern Africa. 55 is the life expectancy. Moses says, it doesn't matter where you live, where you are, even if you get to 70, as I have done, or 80, there are always trouble and sorrow, and these years pass so quickly. Toil and sweat, heartache, headaches, they mark our journey through life. Our lives amount to nothing more than a flash in the pan or a dream in the night. As I quoted earlier, Isaac Watts, time like a never-rolling stream bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. That is the wrath of God. So we ask ourselves, in the light of this God, how should we live our lives? Verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Or as Psalm 111 verse 10 puts it, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So first step, acknowledge that God is in charge of the universe and of my life. Turn to him for his teaching. We learn from him how some things of value can be salvaged even from our difficult and futile lives. He who made sense of the death of the otherwise apparently senseless death of Jesus, he can make sense of our lives. He turns sorrow into joy, mourning into rejoicing, death into life. So before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. So we must number our days. We must realize that life is short, and we must take every opportunity to redeem what has gone wrong. Wisdom is the realization that what is wrong with us is essentially rebellion, unbelief, the desire for independence from God. Even churches can do that. We can decide that we know better than God and that we will lead our lives without his help. Thank you very much. No. Sin runs so deep that only God can put it right. Therefore, let us place ourselves under his hands. He is the King of the universe. Order your life in accordance with his leadership and guidance. Let's bring our lives under his leadership through the salvation which he offers in Jesus Christ. Let us all be very careful how we use our influence to encourage, not to discourage. For the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll invite the musicians to lead us before.